You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It is Dukes and Bell. Neil, I know you've been holding on, and I want to get you on, give you an opportunity to speak your piece as we've been talking about the process with our team and how we get to where we need to be. So I want to wrap this up with you, and then we're going to get into some Hawks and Braves here. But, Neil, thanks for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's on your mind?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Carl, I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you,
and,
sir.
You know, a couple things, man. So, it seems it's odd. I have a lot of friends who recently have experienced sciatica, and it's just debilitating.
Oh.
And, you know, I definitely wish the best for you with that.
Thank
but,
you.
But, you know, Carl, I don't want to be too deep, but you went to the hospital. You said you and your wife thought it was appendix, or you thought
all these different things.
But you went to the hospital. You saw trained doctors who've been in school for 8 years or nurses that have been in school forever, experts, and they still could not get it exactly. They couldn't tell you exactly until, you know, they exhausted everything.
True.
And that, to me, that's just, you know, even medicine is an inexact science. And I think, you know, I told you last time I called, I'm a Commanders fan, but I think Terry is doing a pretty good job. I think being a GM is an inexact science, and he still gets it pretty good. I think that pick of Michael Penix, if that was his call, I think, you know, in years to come, we're going to remember that, you know, as really a pivotal pick for the franchise. But the other thing I would say is that as far as Terry goes, he probably has made some mistakes. But look in Philadelphia at Howie Roseman. That guy's been there for 20 years. And he's been a GM for 14, 15 years. And they just got their second championship. So I think, you know, you need to give Terry some time. I think he is hitting on a lot of picks. He's missing on some. But you have to give him space to really do the job. I'm sure Arthur.
But wait, 4 years isn't enough space?
Well, I'm saying, how long did it take Howie Roseman? You know, I'm sure Jeffrey Lurie had something to say along the way, but
they have been a playoff team 16 of those last 20 years. They went to four NFC Championship games in a row, went to a Super Bowl under him the first. Like there is a track record of success. There's no track record of success here. You're comparing two things that aren't the same.
Well, Mark, I didn't call to argue with you, but I just wanted to share that. But the one thing I did want to say, Mark, is I tend to agree with you, and I think I said this when I called before, Carl. You know, I would keep Kirk on the roster because I just would want Arthur to be petty like that. But I do think that Kirk is he's still a solid quarterback. He said he didn't forget how to play quarterback. So he has some value. And, you know, I saw a clip of a documentary with Steve Young talking about his time with Joe Montana and how they just did not get along. They didn't like each other. And and I can't think of the head coach there at the time.
Bill Walsh.
But Bill Walsh had to kind of lion tame that situation to make sure he got the best out of each of them. And so you don't have to get along. I don't get along with everybody that I deal with. But, Kurt can feel like he feels, and he might want to, kind of childishly weasel his way out of it. But he's under contract. And it's not beyond the pale of expectation to keep him there, make him perform, and let the structure that's there manage that situation. I can't imagine how that would be easy, but just something to think about.
Appreciate you, man. Listen, I want to give you a chance to speak your piece because you've been holding a while, and that's what we like to do on the show. Look, I don't want you to wait and not have a chance to,
hey, Dukes,
to speak your piece.
I got a tweet here from I think it's Daryl TXNE.
Yes.
Right, and he said, Zeno, let's bet that Kyle has at least 800 yards next season. If you really think Kyle Pitts doesn't have what it takes, you're a bigger fool than I thought. And even though he said he was starting to feel me a little bit, I don't think his yardage next year is the point, though. And this is my issue, right? My issue is it's not about what he produces next year. Like, do you believe he's your tight end for the next 3, 4, 5 years?
If that's not
the case, why are you going to let him play out his last year and walk for nothing? Yeah. Because if you believe he's your tight end, then you should be working on an extension right now.
Agreed.
Right now, lower his cap number down, push some money down the road, and like.
Yep.
So
yep.
If that's not what you're doing, then get him off the roster. It's a failed experiment at this point in time. There's not enough data points that other than the year he had with Matt Ryan to go, that's a dude that we can help, that makes our offense better. And this, to a certain extent, he still is a, quote, weapon. He still has skills that are tough to defend. But for whatever reason, it hasn't worked here. And the idea that you're gonna let him walk into the last year of this deal and then possibly have a year that's going to warrant you paying him more than the $10 million he's making this year? Come on. Like, that's bad business all around. If he's not your guy, move on. If he is, you should have an extension done already because important players never hit the final year of their deal, ever.
It's fair, and I do agree with you there. As far as Neil's concerned and him talking about Terry and how much time, again, it's easy to mention these very successful general managers who've been at their jobs a long time. And, everybody's talking about Howie now because, of course, the Eagles won another one. And he has been in that organization a long time. But I don't know what the time limit is, Zeno. When you say 4 years, I don't know. I've said this about when you decide to keep a general manager, when you fire a coach, the clock starts over, whether we like it or not. That is how this works. Because now this is you're going to give this team, these group of guys, a chance to work together and see what they can do. And that doesn't happen in a year. That's why I knew Terry or Ra weren't going to get got this year after losing the way that we did and not making the playoffs. It hurt. It sucked. But that wasn't going to happen. I don't know if that's 3 years together, but I do think that once you decide, hey, we're keeping the general manager, the clock starts over. And that's what's happened with Terry Fontenot.
But, Carl, wouldn't you argue that this upcoming season is the clock? If they don't make the playoffs or have a winning record, how could you possibly justify him?
Bring him back for year six. Yeah,
no,
I mean,
No way.
It's going to be an incredibly tough sell to the fan base. If they miss the playoffs and they bring him back, that's such a tough sell.
Okay, so let me ask you, and I asked you this earlier. How do we lose games? See, what happens is the offseason, guys, is about the general manager. The end season is about the head coach. How did we lose games?
But again, Dukes.
It is.
The organization and the GM should have known that their kicker wasn't healthy and put him on IR and got a new one. That should have happened sometime after the Saints game. Clearly it absolutely should have happened.
Zeno, how did we lose games?
I mean, a variety of ways. Bad quarterback play, kicking, bad defense. I mean, you got destroyed by the Broncos, not because your offense was terrible, because your defense couldn't stop them.
So that's coaching, that's game plan, that's not being ready.
It's also
in
roster.
Some cases. I mean, the roster wasn't crap when we were 6-3 and everybody thought we were running away with the division.
No, it wasn't, but you were scoring points, and the defense didn't have to do that much.
But that's the point. Like, it changed, and when it did, all of a sudden the roster was crap. The roster wasn't crap for 9 games. It wasn't crap when we went and beat the Eagles at the beginning of the season.
You can't move the goalposts like that. That's fair. I mean, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with what you're saying.
So we lost games. This is what I'm getting to. And when we start talking about the GM, and Turtle, I don't know. Like, you say next year he's got to be on the hot seat. Well, that's a hot take. it's easy to say that when we've not been in the playoffs 7 years in a row and the guy's been here, you know, for the last four. But I will say this. When you get into the season, guys, it's about the Andy Reids. It's about the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The coaching that is done week in and week out. And either you have your dudes ready or you don't, or you have a great game plan or you don't. And sometimes you lose close games, which is the NFL. But we lost games this year because of quarterback play, because Zeno's right, field goal kicker failed us. Like, that is not Terry Fontenot. The roster didn't go to crap after 9 weeks.
Well, again, you could argue the kicker that he did hire when he finally did make the move to Koo wasn't the right one. That was on the GM, either that or if it wasn't on him, it was on Ra for picking the wrong guy.
Well, yeah, all right, you guys can chime in. Text us, man. We'd love to hear from you. You know what? Every time I try to get into something else, Zeno, here you go. You just keep driving this thing, don't you? Huh?
I'm just here for the ride. I'm on the sidecar.
Yes. Shout out to the Hawks, only because last night, what an incredible game, man. High-scoring game of the season. Trey, another big game, 19 assists last night. I mean, like, it was ridiculous. They come back, guys. They're down, like, 6 points with 18 seconds to play, and they tie the game, take it to overtime. I just want to give a shout-out. Nobody thought, once the trade deadline happened, that the Hawks would be even competitive with the guys they brought in. I'm here to tell you they're probably more competitive. And if they find a way to get healthy...
Let me ask you the question.
If they find a way to get healthy, they may be a hard out in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we're going to Eastern Conference Finals, but the way they play and like they may be a hard out. But they got to get healthy, man. That's the problem. Go ahead.
I mean, part of my reasoning that they've gotten a little bit more competitive is because everything is back to being Trey centered. Right? What did he have? 34, 34, 35, 24, yep. 34. They had 18 against the other night or whatever it was. But again, he had a huge night in regulation. Forget what he did in overtime too, as well. Everything goes back to being centered around him, and that's sure. When they're the best version of what they are, at least offensively.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. All right, tomorrow we're going to get into some of this Brave stuff because we just haven't had time. But we do want you to hear our NBA conversation that we had earlier today. And listen, as we're talking about the Hawks, you know they're done. All-Star break is here, but we had a great conversation with a guy. That, you know, and Ian Valentino that we were talking to about the NFL and all these questions, including Aaron Rodgers and what he thinks about the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. Stay there. You're going to hear it as we had a chance to catch up with him right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ian, I want to start with the news. The Jets put out an official statement wishing Aaron Rodgers the best, but they're moving on from him. He wanted more trophies there. He didn't do it. He said he wanted to end the leaks. He was the leak in the locker room. He did all these things. He became a distraction. And now the Jets are making this decision. So two questions, really. One, where does Aaron go? What do you think is likely for him as far as a landing spot? And then what are the Jets thinking as far as their quarterback position?
Yeah, Rodgers is in an interesting position right now, right? Because he feels like this could be it. Like his raw numbers last year were pretty decent. If you don't watch the games, I think you could argue, okay, Cleveland makes sense. Pittsburgh makes sense. Maybe if, you know, the Rams want to make a big move and, you know, kind of refresh a little bit, move Matt Stafford, get some good trade value for him, and then you just get a stopgap quarterback in Rodgers, maybe that could make some sense, right? Like you can sell yourself on the production part of Rodgers because he's better than maybe like five or so, eight starters at least, like even at his low end. But I think the rest of the conversation with Rodgers is the tough part. And he's just an odd person, to say the least. And I think bringing that into a locker room is tough to consider. And then you factor in the money and everything else. And I don't know, he's a little bit unpredictable. And I think that could lead to a retirement, right? Like, I think that's the question is, does he push for a job maybe at a team that's maybe rebuilding and he can bridge the gap to a rookie? But is he interested in maybe being benched at some point? So I think that's a tough part for him. For the Jets, I get moving off of Rodgers, but they have no clear path to upgrading. And I think that's the tough part is like, are they willing to, with Aaron Glenn, give him a little bit of a tough situation to either start a rookie that they're probably going to have to, you know, stretch a little bit to take either someone there in the first round. I don't know that anyone's going to be really worth that pick. Or in the second round, I think that's a tough sell. Or do they bring Sam Darnold back? Do they really plan on doing that? I think that's a really tough sell for the fan base. And I'm not really sure. I think the Jets, it's easy enough to move off of Rodgers and just kind of shed yourself of the experience. But to not have a backup plan is a little bit unique and difficult.
To that end, what do you make of the rumors of Matt Stafford being done in L.A. and whether they decide to move on from him? I mean, a trade part, I'm sure there would be a market for him, certainly more than Kirk Cousins for that matter. But what do you make of the Matt Stafford rumors?
Yeah, I'm all about maximizing the assets that you have. And, you know, they're a team that they're a playoff caliber team. So, like, that's the tough part. Do you want to give up your chance at potentially making a Super Bowl run? Maybe you catch fire in a bottle. You've got a really young defense, so maybe you want to see where that goes. But if a team like the Giants or the Jets want to offer you their first-round pick, like if you're talking about getting like a top-10 pick back for him, for a guy that's in his late 30s, he's expensive, he's been dinged up a lot in his career, I think you have a pretty good pitch there to make a move, but then you have to have the replacement. It kind of goes back to the Jets thing. It's like, just don't make the move just to make the move. You want to stay competitive, especially when you have Sean McVay. Does Sean McVay actually want to take a step back too, or is he just going to, you know, get back into that weird headspace where he was thinking about retiring? Like, if it's going to cost you Sean McVay, then I don't think you make that move. But if it's something where he's in it for the long term, well, I'd probably consider it then, because I don't know that they're a serious Super Bowl threat as is, but there is something to be said to being a playoff threat every year. Like, no franchise wants to go from a playoff team to a total rebuild if you can help it. So very unique situation. I don't think I'd buy it unless if you start to see some really high trade compensation that starts with like a top 10 pick.
Ian, we've been arguing about whether any team is going to potentially trade for Kirk Cousins. I do not believe that to be true. I think they wait it out. They make the Falcons cut him, and then they sign him if they want him. Do you see that scenario playing itself out, or do you think there are teams that will be interested in making a move for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I would lean towards what you're thinking, where they cut him. If it's going to be a trade, it's going to be pennies on the dollar, right? Like, you're talking maybe a conditional day three pick, maybe a pick swap, like Cousins and a sixth rounder for a fifth rounder. It's going to be something that's pretty ugly, and it probably happens after June 1st because you need the money to work out a little bit there, and it's a little bit easier to do after June 1st. So otherwise, these teams are smart. They know it. When they know that a trade is available, they'll wait. We've seen better players than Cousins just be outright released, and then they'll swoop in and they'll pay him next to nothing, right? Like we saw it with Russell Wilson, very similar situation. I think Wilson was coming off of a little bit of a better season than Cousins is, considering the injury history and everything like that, and he was just released. So I think that was a little bit of writing on the wall. I wouldn't get your hopes up that you're going to get much in return for Kirk Cousins in a trade.
No, I don't think the expectation is to get much in return. I think the expectation for the Falcons is to create the cap space with a post-June 1st trade. That's what you're gunning for. But I believe the Falcons when they say they wouldn't release him. I genuinely do, because they look at it as a sunk cost, and they have a viable backup, so to speak, a $40 million backup, but a viable one at that. Is there a team that you think, you know, could fit, Kirk Cousins could fit with?
I think Cleveland, right? Cleveland's got to be the obvious one. Kevin Stefanski, that connection, they have a major need. I know Cleveland fans have their hopes up that they can get Cousins, whether it's via trade or as a free agent. They think he'd come cheap, and they want that to happen because they don't have a ton of cap space to work with, obviously, dealing with the Deshaun Watson situation. There's some other teams I think maybe you could say, yeah, he could go there and compete, especially if there's like a Stafford trade. The Giants, I think, makes sense as a stopgap too. Brian Daboll is a good quarterback coach. So I would have trust in him that they could get something out of him. But I think that you're onto something there too. Like, I think Atlanta is not going to be super motivated to make this work. Like, they'll get a little bit of cap space, but a lot of that cap space is going to be for 2026 if they make a move. And like, I don't know how that helps their team now. And I think they're going to be looking at it like, we already spent this on him, so you've got to make it worth it for us. So it's going to be a little bit of a standoff there between Cousins, because I think he's going to have something to say in this. Cousins, the team that wants to get Cousins, and then Atlanta. It's not going to be an easy deal.
What do you think of Michael Penix?
I like him. I think he was pro ready. I think he's ready to start. The pick was odd because they just signed Cousins, but like, if you take that away from it, I think it made sense. He's such a good pocket passer. You know, there might be some limitations there athletically and maybe as a creator, but you want to take a risk sometimes, and it's going to happen when it's not the number one overall pick, but he's so accurate. He's so smart. Like, you could see that all from the first time he even played in the preseason, right? Like, he just looked comfortable out there, and he's ready to play. Like, you got to get that guy on the field. His age is part of that equation too, but you want to bank on the intelligence, the accuracy. His physical traits are good enough, and I think that, you know, if you give him enough weapons and you give him a much better defense, you're going to have a chance.
He's Ian Valentino, NFL writer for the 33rd team, joining us here on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. The running back position, when it comes to the draft this year, it seems like there's a resurgence now, and teams are going back to that main workhorse back. We saw, obviously, what it did for the Eagles with Saquon Barkley. Do you expect that teams are going to put more focus on that sole lead running back, not only through the draft but in free agency as well?
I don't know that I see it being more of a lead cow back. I still think there's going to be a less of a workhorse mentality because there's that risk of the drop-off, and you're still seeing some teams get a lot of production out of like the second tier, third tier of running backs, but you want to have two of those guys. I think there's going to be value in that. There's so many running backs in this draft class where in some ways it's going to push the cream of the crop up, like the couple of guys that you think that will be number one types, Ashton G&T, maybe a Caleb Johnson, maybe Omarion Hampton. Those guys are probably going to still go in the top 50, but I think everyone else still gets pushed down. So you might get like this lack of a mid-round running back, right? All of a sudden you're going to start to see some really good names and then, you know, start coming in flurries on day three. And those guys are going to be 1A, 1B types, where both running backs get like 12 to 15 carries each. I don't think we're going to enter the full era where there's like 25 workhorses. I don't know that we're going to be at that point ever again, but I do think we're closer to what it used to be. And I think that's smart. It's where the league should be going. The guys coming into the league are just too good. And we just saw it against the Eagles. How do you beat that Eagles team? You have to run the ball to beat that Eagles team. That's the only way that you're going to beat them. You're not going to throw against that team too well, even if you're Patrick Mahomes. So watch for the league to pivot a little bit, but I don't think it's going to go all the way back yet.
Yeah, it's a great point. Ian, what do you think New Orleans does? I saw where Kellen Moore, you know, was not necessarily giving a vote of confidence to Derek Carr. They got a lot of problems, and we bring them up because they're in our division. I thought it was interesting that nobody really wanted that job. I know there are 32 of them, but Kellen Moore ultimately takes it. But it's an uphill battle for what they have to do and how they have to fix that team.
Yeah, they're finally paying the piper for all of those cap moves that they made and all of the magic that they made. Like, it's at a head, and it's finally here. I think they just have to embrace it. Like, this year is going to be rough. You probably have to be accepting the pill a little bit with Derek Carr. I think you have to keep him for this year just because the money, the way that they restructured his contract. Again, like, sometimes you just have to deal with a declining player, and he's going to be expensive, and then you deal with it next year. So for them, I think it's about rebuilding the roster around him, at least for this season, getting a lot younger across both sides of the ball. Find some impact players if you can, but they're not going to be signing anybody in free agency. I wouldn't expect too many major moves for them. It's going to probably be an ugly season next year where they're trying to lay the foundation for the future, and then you start seeing a lot more moves the year after that because they can start shedding some of that bad salary. But I can see why coaches maybe didn't want to hitch their wagon to that too, because they kept Mickey Loomis, right? They kept the GM. Right. It's a very odd situation with that. Like, you know, Kellen Moore took on a tough job. Like, it's a fun job if you're, you know, in Madden and you're the GM in Madden, because it's a little bit easier to do. In real life, that's a tough job. And not having the quarterback of the future, like that Spencer Rattler pick not paying off is, you know, it's whatever because it's a day three pick. But if he would have hit, that's a lot easier of a job to sell yourself on.
Real quick, Ian, I think the reports of the Chiefs' demise are greatly overstated. That said, they have a ton of questions to answer. I mean, Rashid Rice is coming back, but Xavier Worthy is a number two receiver. They have no running back. Travis Kelce's facing retirement. They need more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. What's your forecast for the Chiefs going forward?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not panicking about the Chiefs yet, but this is probably the most important offseason that they've had in quite a long time. They have to embrace that the offense has to change. Like, Travis Kelce is, whether he comes back or not, he's just not overly helpful right now. The wide receiver room needs to be turned over. Like, DeAndre Hopkins proving to be a bust of a signing is a tough blow. These other things, like you said, Rice coming back, but can you even count on Rashee Rice because of his suspensions and constant issues with him? So they're in a little bit of a weird flux. A lot of personnel needs to change over. They're an expensive team. The defense is getting a little bit older, especially with Chris Jones. So they have to start taking some bigger swings. And what I hope that they don't do is do what New England did in Tom Brady's later years. We're not there yet with Mahomes, but we are kind of there with Andy Reid and some of these other guys where you have to take some bigger swings. Don't just take guys that plug holes. Try to find more stars. Build what you built originally and just try to kind of keep that momentum going. So I think you're right, though. I would look at the offensive line. Obviously, we saw the Super Bowl, but they have, you know, two guard spots that need to be addressed, a left tackle spot that needs to be addressed. What are you going to do there? Running back, need to upgrade that position too. So I think they just need to look at themselves and say, we probably need to overhaul the system a little bit, not go too crazy, but make things easier for Mahomes and get some new playmakers in here and then build it around that new talent. Like, we don't have to keep running the same stuff back when the talent has to change out anyway. So they're going to be really good next year. Like, I'm with you. I think that's still probably going to be a 12-13 win team no matter what. But that team needs to be certainly injected with a lot of fresh talent.
Yeah, you bring up New England. It's a great point. They continue to change as they evolve with Brady, even though Brady was still there. That's what has to happen with the Chiefs. Great stuff. Ian, we got to run, man. Ian Valentino, follow him, guys, NFL writer for the 33rd team. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
It is Dukes and Bell. Carl Dukes is off to the Skyhawks game. Good luck to the boys tonight. Maybe we'll be seeing a couple of them up with the Hawks to start the second half if the guys like Vit Krejci and Larry Nance Jr. are out as long as they are expected to be. All right, Zeno, we're going to wrap this thing up where we began with your phone calls. Zeno's got the pot stirring today. I got to give it to him. He brought a topic that has carried us today, and we're going to talk to you on the phones. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Do you agree with Mark Zeno? A singular voice to run the Falcons in terms of attaining personnel? Or do you think the collaborative process needs to continue to be the way that the Falcons are run? 404-726-0929. That's going to be tonight's last call on Dukes and Bell. Mr. Dukes is with the College Park Skyhawks. They get underway at 7 o'clock. So it's yours truly, Chris Thomas Turtle, in with Mark Zeno to wrap up the show here on Dukes and Bell. We're taking your calls at 404-726-0929. Zeno was on a heater today, brought us our topic du jour, topic of the day. That C word. And no, I'm not talking about that one, Zeno. Collaboration was the word of the day. And we are talking about if the Falcons need a singular voice. Terry Fontenot, Big T.
All right, stop.
Yes.
Collaborate and listen.
Time for you to step up your game and be the singular voice of this organization. Or if you believe in that C word, 404-726-0929. Let's start with Yo. Yo, you're in the game. What do you think, man?
What's happening, Turtle? What's happening, Zeno? I'm going to keep this short and sweet. So listen, we had a choice to make last year. We chose not to go with Justin Fields and give him that one-year extension with the fifth-year option. We instead chose to give this guy $100 million guaranteed. And that has set off a firestorm in this city. But the problem is that they didn't think it all the way through. Just like everybody who is saying that we should have drafted Jordan Davis, even though they called him fat, or Jalen Carter, even though they called him a thug. And then they sat back and like, oh, we should have got those guys. But you didn't want those guys. You didn't want the guys who would actually improve our team. And this is the problem that we have with Atlanta sports, is that every time we look at somebody, we want to nitpick at them and not go and say, hey, will this guy improve our team or not? And we made a choice. We made a conscious choice to take a 35-year-old with a torn Achilles and give him $100 million. And now we want to sit here and bellyache about it because that's what we did. But half the city was happy about it. The other half was like, dang, this ain't working. But we was all sitting there doing the swag surf. So I'm just going to say this. I'm with Zeno when it comes to the idea that we play hardball. I'm old enough to remember Al Davis sitting down Marcus Allen, who had just won the Super Bowl MVP in 1985 because he had Bo Jackson in the reins. So guess what? Our Bo Jackson is Michael Penix Jr., and we're going to make it happen, and we're going to play hardball. He's going to play for us, and he won't play this year. That's what's going to happen.
All right, thank you, Yo. I mean, Zeno, again, I think what it comes down to at the end of the day is, as you've been saying, Terry Fontenot needs to, quote, do his job and find an equivalent trade partner that's willing to do some damage when it comes to Kirk Cousins. And by damage, I mean taking whatever weight off the Falcons' back that they're willing to do.
I mean, again, it stands to reason. You're right. There might not be anybody who is willing to do it. And everybody may say no, because they don't like the deal. But at this point, you have to, if you consider Kirk Cousins a sunk cost, then let him be a sunk cost on somebody else's roster and free up the cap space, whatever that is. If that requires you to pay all of the contract, you know, or whatever the collective bargaining agreement allows, that you do as much as possible to do it. If it requires throwing in a second or third day draft pick, do it. Whatever it does, it gets him off the roster, because 2025 has got to be a make or break year for the GM, for the entire organization, to snap seven consecutive seasons of missing the postseason. Because nobody should tolerate eight, and certainly for a GM, it's going to be very hard to retain him if they don't make the playoffs for five straight years with him there.
I know Carl made the point earlier that Terry's only been here for four out of the seven.
Right.
That's still four straight losing seasons without a playoff berth. General managers don't get that kind of leash. 404-726-0929. Chris, you're in the game. What do you think?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's up, Turtle? What's up, Z?
What's up?
Hey, man, more than collaboration, the word you guys were talking about, you were bringing it up, was philosophy. And I'm ready for the philosophy of the Atlanta soft serve ice cream Falcons to change. I get on these shows a lot, and the thing that has really, really upset me is for 4 years, with our first round pick, we have not gone defense, which is just asinine to me, especially with the Georgia players and other ones that we have let go. So I wanted Bill Belichick for that reason, because of the philosophy and how diametrically opposite to what the Falcons were. One thing about Belichick, he got guys who pushed the limits. LeGarrette Blount, Corey Dillon, Woolfolk, all of them at some point. Even Wells Welker wasn't a choir boy. The philosophy needs to change. Go Falcons.
All right, Chris, appreciate the phone call. 404-726-0929. I don't disagree. But if you tell me that Michael Walker or Jalen Walker or Michael Williams or Jalen Walker, one of those guys is available at 15, and the Falcons don't take him, I know as a fan I would be pretty PO'd. You know, I'm just saying. 404-726-0929. Good points by Chris. Let's finish up with Xavier. You get the last word. What do you think?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Yep.
To go back to your original question, I think it depends on the experience that your GM has. With a GM like Terry, I think he needs to collaborate, because clearly he's shown he's very inexperienced and he needs help, because a lot of the moves that he's been making, as the two calls before pointing out, that just shows inexperience. If this was Ozzie Newsome, yes, one person made the decisions, they're experienced, they know football. But Terry has been showing that he doesn't know a lot about how to build a roster. And you will hope that the head coaches will help him. But thus far, both the head coaches have also been helping making bad decisions as well. So I can see why it's hard to put the blame on who when you say, oh, it's a collaborative effort. But for now, I guess keep it collaborative until you give it to Terry.
No, I appreciate the phone call, Xavier. I just disagree, man. I just think it's time. I think Zeno's right. You need a singular voice in this situation, as much as...
And again, just to be clear, voice doesn't mean like it's it's a dictatorship where he doesn't talk to anybody.
No, but it's
It's a front-facing situation where, you know, there is a certain level of... The words that come out of the organization's mouth match the actions, right? Like, and that's the biggest problem. That's why the fan base is losing trust with this organization, because what they say and what they do don't always match up.
I maintain that one of the craziest things we'll ever see in football was the press conference when Arthur Smith was fired and Terry Fontenot wasn't there.
Oh, that was problematic.
One of the craziest things you'll ever see. All right, great job on the phones. 404-726-0929. Coming up next, we got a red hot Rob Tribble stepping in the building. He's going to take you for the full 3 hours on 92.9 The Game tonight. Orin, let's get out of here and clear our throats. Tomorrow, a big Friday program. I am back in the host chair with Carl. He'll be fresh off the Skyhawks game. We will lead you into a lovely Valentine's Day. Orin, I know you were loving Andy Bunker's promo today.
I was a little weirded out by it.
Yeah, he was wooing the fans to come check them out at Twin Peaks and Buckhead tomorrow.
Is that like Andy's seductive voice?
I think that's what that was. I wonder if that's what the wife hears.
Don't want to ask Ashley that. No.
Yeah, we got to know if he whisper sweet nothings into her ears with that. Tomorrow we'll chat with our buddy B-Mac, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion at 220, 320, the voice of the Braves. Yes, we will talk some Braves tomorrow. No, we didn't get into it today because this Falcons talk was the entire show, and it was fire. Brandon Gaudin, the voice of the Braves at 320, and then our weekly chat, Mr. Coonan will be stopping by at 440 with all the latest on the Hawks at the deadline. All right, Zeno, great job today, my friend. Thank you, sir, and clear your throat.
Gentlemen, tomorrow, Valentine's Day. Listen, man, just put the effort in, right? It's all about effort. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't got to be special. It doesn't have to be memorable, but it's got to have effort. You got to show that you care. So do the right thing, put the effort in, and take care of your ladies.
Wow, a sweet sentiment from Mark Zeno.
That happens every now and then.
I'm a little bit surprised. All right, we didn't get to it today. The Atlanta Hawks had a really, really good game against the Knicks. They came up just short, and that's sort of been the microcosm of their first half of the season so far. Just a little bit short with the injury to Jalen Johnson. Now Vic Krejci and Larry Nance Jr. are going to be sidelined for a while as well. But this is a resilient bunch, man. They're right in the mix, and I think they're going to be in it up until the very end. Will the decision to not move Clint Capela come back to bite them if he's not able to go? We shall see. He's reportedly in a ramp-up process. Only time will tell when he'll be back on the floor. Hey, Mark Zeno, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
And if not,
collaborate.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.